just after 9 on ESPN 1000 on our 25th anniversary as this great radio station, and we'll celebrate that today all afternoon long starting at 12 at the House of Blues. Quite a party is planned. I was just texting with the great Eddie Olczyk. He has landed, flew in from the road to be at the event.
That's awesome.
Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. Jay Cutler will be there. Sarah Spain's going to be there. Matt Yurko and Harry reunion. Waddle and Sylvie all afternoon long. Carmen Yurk, Black and Abdallah. And then I think you'll be there, all of us on stage from 5 until 6 o'clock. So that should be a lot of fun. And a lot of our great partners and fans. So really excited to be part of this today. Let's get John at Tinley Park before I ask Courtney a football question. Hey, John, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, this is your cousin, John Cronin, Courtney.
John, how are you?
All right, congratulations.
Thank you.
Good work. I listen to you every chance I get.
Oh, that's awesome. I appreciate it.
Watch you on your show, too.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know if you guys know this, but her dad used to race cars up in Wisconsin on the Elkhart Lake.
Yep, Road America.
How about that?
That was a lot of fun. You guys, I'm one of nine cousins on my dad's side of the family. John is my Uncle Dan's. Are you you're the oldest, right?
I'm the youngest.
The youngest. There were four boys, mm-hmm. and I was the only girl on that side. So, like, my dad was older. And so my cousins, the four of them, got to do all of the cool things that by the time my dad had me at 55 years old, he was still racing. But, like, in his heyday, when he was, you know, an emergency room doctor, living the life, driving sports cars, you know, hanging out on Rush Street, my cousin Michael, Mark... Like, they all had a chance you can tell I wasn't born yet. This is like 25 years before I came around, so John can speak to this better than me.
He always drove a nice Porsche, you know, like the one with the front lights flipped up and stuff. Take it for a spin. That was fun.
Well, thank you for the call, John.
John, appreciate it.
You.
Take care.
All right. Have a good show.
You bet. We'll see you. Yeah, it's cool. Really cool. People
really
are very
neat.
Proud of you, too.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
My South Side family. Like, that's what I always like try to, like, rib Hoodie about. Like, when my South Side comes out, it's all from... That's part of it right there.
There you go.
Love it.
So, let's talk about what you expect from the Bears. Because I'm in the minority, and people get mad at me when I say, I think it's a 6-11, 7-10 team. If Jordan Love is better than we all hope, you might be dead last again in the division. I think Detroit's winning the division. Minnesota's a 13-win team coming back. I'm not telling you they're winning 13 again, but they're good. So what are you expecting? Because I have not seen Ryan Poles, and I think by design, not spend all his money on defensive line and offensive line. I think he's building this through the draft, and he's waiting for 24 offseason, two first-round picks, and more money to spend.
That's been his MO, it wasn't going to be a quick fix. And when he was asked last week, you know, we get through like all of the, you know, grandstanding about Tremaine Edmonds, TJ Edwards, the additions, then it's, well, your defensive line is still not great. Do you realistically think it can look a lot different and potentially a lot better between now and, you know, by the time the draft's over? And he was very honest in his assessment that there are going to be some weak spots on this roster. And most times I feel like you don't have that sort of brutal honesty from a general manager. Mm-hmm. And he's so early in this process that mm-hmm. he's afforded that. Some general managers who feel the heat of, I've got to get this thing right or I might be out of a job, would have a different answer to that. But the moves that Ryan Poles has made in free agency from last year to where we stand a year later, it's all calculated towards how he views building long-term success. Most fans aren't going to like that because people want to see, when you have a lot of money to spend, being the big spender, going and spending.
Right.
Kind of like when I covered the Vikings that year in 2018, you know, they had three quarterbacks on the roster the year before: Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater, Case Keenum, and Keenum gets them to the NFC Championship game. they had their one shot to get the quarterback spot right, so they go all in on Kirk Cousins. That was the biggest splash that year in free agency. They give him the 3-year, $84 million deal. And it's not the end-all be-all, but they felt, hey, we are a quarterback away with the roster that they had constructed from getting back to the NFC Championship. They haven't been back to the NFC Championship since 17. So I'm not saying that that's always going to be the fix, but when you have the resources and you have a window, and the Bears haven't won. Like, that's the difference between where the Vikings spent a lot and were really active in free agency.
They were winning.
Yeah. The Bears were a 3-14 team last year, and now, with an estimated, before they entered free agency, $100 million in cap space, people are looking, saying, well, where's the spending spree? When are they going to start paying for premier players? That wave came and went, and they got a lot of good value for what, you know, for what they paid for Tremaine Edmonds at 25 years old and what his potential could be, and viewing him as a better fit at the weak side linebacker spot than the middle linebacker spot, and trying to shore up that weak side linebacker spot with TJ Edwards. But there's still holes on this roster. Ryan Poles has been adamant that he knows that. It's not like you're telling him anything new.
Right, and he has said, we can't fix everything.
In one offseason.
Right.
And we need to keep repeating that, because there's some people who believe, man, they have a great draft, they're right back in this thing. And the realistic, like, what's the margin for improvement? They had a minus 137 point differential last year. That was awful. How much can they improve that? Can it go by like 40 points? Even that's a stretch. I saw some piece of data right around the time of last week when free agency, the first wave ended. And there was some site, it might have been PFF, had them at like a 40-point swing, or it was unexpected points. And I think even that's a stretch. This is a 2 to 3 year process before you're ready to contend in the NFC North, mm-hmm. and then in the entire conference. My biggest gripe still, though, is that if you don't have somebody helping up front, your linebackers are going to be SOL at that point. Like,
correct.
They can't do everything.
Because
if guys
you've
are getting
got
the second
to keep
level,
them clean.
Yeah. I mean, I've covered some really good defensive lines. I mean, go look at Philly. Go look at where TJ Edwards came from. They had an 8-person rotation up front, and that makes his job easier. The Bears need to figure that part out, and maybe they do. I mean, again, there's still time. We are a month and 3 days removed from round one in the NFL draft. They can put those pieces together to shore up the left tackle spot. Maybe that's where Paris Johnson Jr. from Ohio State comes into play at number 9. Maybe they move back, and maybe they can get a Lucas Van Ness and another draft pick in the process by trading back. And how do you address the 3 technique spot? And I know some people like to hear about it, some people don't. It's an incredibly important part of this defense. It was the bread and butter for Matt Eberflus with DeForest Buckner in Indy, with Shaq Leonard on the other side of that, at the, you know, with the off-ball linebacker spot and the importance of that in his defense. You have to think, if you're looking at this through an optimistic lens or even just like a realistic lens, they're not done. You can't judge them and give them a full grade on what they've done right now in Ryan Poles' rebuild plan until you see what the fruits of their labors and all the work they put in their draft prep, what that turns out to be. But even still, this comes back to how much more improved is this team? Thinking about, like, you know, wins above replacement, and thinking what certain players are going to give you that many more wins in the collection of that. 3 wins to 8 wins for me. That's how I look at this season in 2023. That's a successful season.
Oh, it'd be
you can
massive.
Buy yourself 5 more wins based on the personnel
sure
you put around field.
That's
a stretch, but that to me would be like, that is a success. You should feel proud of yourself, because then in 2024, like, this is the springboard for 2024. If everything works out the way that they anticipated it, with the players that they brought in, the quarterback development, and the coaching development, Luke Getsy in this offense for another year, calling games, that experience, Matt Eberflus, Alan Williams, maybe changing some things around schematically to improve what they're doing with their pass rush and then things on the other end of the defense, then you're in a good spot for 2024. It's okay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I'm
now
not convinced
we're set
they
up.
Can get
now
to
all
8.
Of our pieces are in place. So where are you at? Like, you said 6-11?
I said 6 or 7.
Okay. That's fair. That should be the floor for them. Ceiling, yeah. I think, is 8.
All these people that have tweeted at me, what about the Vikings? They're overrated. Okay, they went 13-4 if you count the playoffs last year. They were 8-9 the year before, 7-9 the year before, 10-6, 8-7-1, 13-3, 8-8, 11-5. The Bears don't have records like that going back. They don't. They have one, as Sylvie calls it, pop-up season in 2018. Mm-hmm. That's it. 312-332-3776. So where are you on this team next year? I keep saying slow your roll and temper your expectations. This is a process. It's a process. It's a process. Ryan Poles has told us we can't fix everything, and it's going to take time, and we have no depth. That was his quote. We just don't have the depth right now. That's what off seasons are for. More free agent signings, another draft class after this one, and he's got a bunch of picks this year. So are you pleased with where they're at right now? Or some people, a lot, are underwhelmed what they've done. What about you? 312-332-3776. Courtney Cronin is in for Hoodie. It's Cap J Hood on a 25th anniversary here at ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and J Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
With Courtney Cronin, I'm David Kaplan. Hoodie's got the day off. He's enjoying a little time in advance of the baseball season starting, but he will be at the 25th anniversary celebration today for our radio station over at the House of Blues beginning at noon. Jake Cantu is in for Shay. Jay Moore's at the controls. I'm David Kaplan. Do you ever have somebody, like, your football knowledge is awesome, and you watch a lot of tape. Do you ever have anybody get into these arguments with you, and most of them do not watch tape, and you start spitting facts and expected points per play and all this stuff, people go, okay, I'm out.
Sure. I think everybody does. I think if you try to have a good argument, that's like the thing I love about sports talk. Like, trying to win it's the theme of Around the Horn. Mm-hmm. Trying to win a sports argument is it's null and void, because one person's going to tell you you're an idiot and you're wrong because of XYZ, then the other person's going to come with another set of facts and tell you why you're an idiot and you're wrong in XYZ. I mean, it's a conversation, which I don't think we were calling each other idiots earlier, about one of the callers about the Justin Fields, where do you rank him in the NFC, and my point on Jared Goff and why I'd put where I'm at on Jared Goff and Justin Fields and where he's at. And so I think that you can have civil discourse. That's one thing I've learned in my career of, you know, being able to debate where I stand on the team. And the hard thing is when you're in the locker room every day, like, that's one thing I get, like, when covering the Bears, covering the Vikings, the Raiders, the 49ers, any professional and college team I've covered, when you are there every single day and you actually know what's going on behind the scenes and someone tries to tell you differently based on their interpretation of things, that's okay. Like, you're allowed to have an opinion, but sometimes there's more nuance and context, which I know absolutely does not exist on Twitter.
But it does
not. But in sports talk radio, we actually have the space and time to dissect things at a higher intellectual level, and I appreciate that.
The first time that it, like, the light went on for me, so I'm covering the Cubs extensively. I was their pre and post host for 25 years. I go on a post-game show, and I bury a former manager. This is, you know, almost 20 years ago. Bury this manager. Can you believe this guy didn't use so-and-so in the eighth inning? And look at his track record. The three hitters he's faced are all 0-for against him. What is this guy getting paid for? I'm blasting him. Show up at the park the next day. Here comes media relations. So-and-so would like to see you in his office. Oh, boy. Okay. I walk in. Yeah, what's up? Close the door. Okay. When I hear from one person that you blasted me on the post game, I'm like, yeah, whatever. When I hear from 10 of them, okay, I had them pull the tape up. You have no idea what was going on. Do you think I'm an idiot? Well, I just can't believe you wouldn't use that guy. You want to see the videotape of him struggling back to get to his car at 4 o'clock in the morning, wasted? We had a game at 1:20. You pitching him? You putting your team in that guy's hands? That's the decision that he made. He was unavailable that day. That's why. He goes, do you think I'm going to tell you that in the media and throw him under the bus? No. I get paid a lot of money, so I'm the blankety blank, and I'll wear it. But you need to know there's more to it than just the surface.
So did you go on the next day and say, well, there are some things I learned about why XYZ player was not available?
So I didn't go on because I said, do you want me to apologize on the air? I'm wrong. I get it. He said, no, I'm not asking for that. All I'm telling you is there's more to the story. We're not as dumb as you think we are at times, even though the team was struggling.
And that's...
And I did say on the air, hey, I learned that so-and-so was unavailable.
Sure. Like, that's the thing I've learned as a reporter all these years, that there's about 90% you can actually report.
Mm-hmm.
And 10%, or there's about 10% that you can actually report. 90%'s all on background stuff that you hear, stuff that you're told, that, like, tells you the actual story. Mm-hmm. And we know about 5% of what actually goes on inside, like, you know, inside Halas Hall.
And it's when you get that little extra nugget. Yep. That's what you break a story.
Yeah. Right. And that's, there's so much more that goes on behind the scenes. And when fans lose their ever-loving minds, and this guy's an idiot, how does he have a job? I mean, okay, Nathaniel Hackett and some of the decision-making things that happened in-game that he was ill-equipped for. Absolutely. But sometimes personnel moves. Sometimes things that are happening behind the scenes, people are not going to come out and sandbag a player publicly in the media, because do you want that guy to actually play for you, or do you want him to loaf the rest of the season because he feels, well, I wasn't supported by this? I mean, there's a good example of this. In 2016, it's the year before I got to Minnesota, Mike Zimmer called the offensive line soft in like a press conference, and that did not ride over well in the offensive line room.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of moments that kind of circle back to that sort of comment starting to fracture the fabric within the team and having to repair that. And it's those sorts of things that coaches, GMs, anybody who's talking publicly about a team is going to be very careful to not make. And they might tell you off the record. They might tell you in a casual setting, not for public consumption. But that helps you understand a little bit more about the mindset of players, what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong, why they might be struggling. Like, finding out the why behind stuff is probably, to me, that's more critical than breaking news. And that's, you know, context.
It's just interesting that there's some whys at that. Why didn't you guys sign that guy? Mm-hmm. Did you know this? No, I didn't. Okay, I get it.
I mean, Ryan Poles, when we talked about transparency with, you know, where the roster is right now, how he doesn't feel that there's, I mean, he feels there's going to be holes still on this. I was a little surprised, actually, that he was as transparent about the Orlando Brown thing, because there had been, you know, some talks that he was linked to the Bears just because of the Kansas City connection between Poles and Orlando Brown Jr. And when he said, you know, talking about how he, paraphrasing, like he wasn't a scheme fit, that's more than I thought he was going to offer up on that. Other GMs I've covered have said, well, you know, we don't want to talk about players on other teams. Again, shedding some light on a situation, which is good, I think, for business.
No question. And when you develop the relationships that you have, they see you every day, you're not looking to sandbag people, you just do it the right way, they will give you things off the record. Come here. And they'll tell you things. You'd be like, oh, I did not know that.
And then you can go on TV, you can go on radio and say what you know, and you don't have to necessarily attribute it to somebody, but you can paint a more accurate picture of what's going on.
I reported a big story that got a lot of news, a lot of attention here and a little nationally, but especially here, and got pushback from the person I was reporting this about.
Okay.
And I double-checked it before I reported it with someone who would know. I come back on the air one day, and this player had pushed back on this narrative that I had stated. And people are calling in, you're an idiot on Twitter. You're an idiot. Because they believe the player. Okay, that's fine. You're a fan. I get it. I come back out of break. You can ask Cody. And I said, look, I stand by my reporting. Could I be wrong? I guess. We'll take a break and we'll come right back. My phone rings in like 8 seconds. And I look, I'm like, whoa. I go, Hoodie, look who's calling. I answer, he goes, I gave you the damn story. Stick to your guns. He's mad at me that I was right, but the player mm-hmm. was not happy with what I reported. So you get stuck in that no man's land.
Yeah, it's tough. And I mean, I've been in those situations where you stand by your reporting. I've been cussed out by so many agents over the years.
Like, there's I've gotten those.
There's one back in Minnesota where I was at a bachelorette party in Tahoe, and I had just broken a pretty big story about something dealing with the vaccine and the coaching staff and all of that. And the amount of times that I heard the F word in this phone call from an agent representing this coach, I was kind of like just holding it out here, drinking my beer, waving to my friends in the corner, like, "Yeah, I'm working. I'll be right over there." After I broke this story at a slot machine in the Reno airport, like using that like to hold my computer. I wasn't playing slots, but yeah, it's just something that you deal with, I think, as a reporter. And you trust your reporting. You make sure it's obviously accurate before, especially if it's controversial. You don't want to go scorched earth on somebody or have somebody go scorched earth on you if it's not accurate and to a T and buttoned up.
So we had a moment on this show where we had a particular Chicago athlete, and he's on the show. It's me and Hoodie. And I happened to say to said athlete, "Well, you're vaccinated, right?" "No, actually, I'm not." "What?" We go to break. It's uncomfortable. He didn't expect
He's in studio with you.
No, he's on the phone.
Okay.
But he's a big name.
Okay.
We go to break. I mean, my phone is ringing at 8 seconds. "What the F are you doing asking him that question?" It's his agent.
Mm-hmm.
And he is not happy with me. I'm like, I just assumed that he was.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, it became
a story.
Well, this is like 9:30 in the morning, and they have a game at 1:20 at Wrigley. And so, of course, he's got to answer 30 reporters want to know, "Why are you not vaccinated?" Yeah, cause a big stink. Yes, it was not a pretty place for the day. Anyway, 312-332-3776. Let's grab Tom in Oak Lawn. Hey, Tom, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm on my way to the anniversary party right now, so I can't wait to see you, Cap, and maybe Courtney, and obviously your favorite quarterback, Jay Cutler. So,
looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. You're a little early.
Well, you got to get early there. I mean, I know the doors open at 11, but you got to line up. You know how it goes. So.
Go get them.
But I want to say I'm on the same train with both of you and Courtney. I feel next year they're not winning the Super Bowl. I see them as a 6-7 win team, which is still very good and very good progress. And I feel that I like the free agent signings that he's done and the trade that he made with the number one pick, especially since they're all young. They're all like, 24, 25, 26, and they're players that you could still grow with Justin Fields and such. And I'm excited, too, to see what he's going to do in the draft, because with some of these extra picks, he's got that flexibility where, he could still trade back. He could trade up into, like, maybe, the back half of the first round if he sees somebody that he wants.
He can.
He can still make different moves that way.
He does. And appreciate the call, Tom. We look forward to seeing you a little later today. Any thoughts on that?
No, I mean, he's right. It's a methodical process where 2024, you're not contending for the Super Bowl, but that's when you can actually contend in the NFC North mm-hmm. to get a playoff spot. So
agreed.
What they're doing right now is they're raising the floor. And that's a long process. It's not a sexy.
The floor this year was awfully low.
It's below ground, below grade. To do that is not a sexy process most times, because you're trying to find the foundational pieces of your roster, and that's not always the big pass rusher that you're paying on a deal, because a lot of those guys want to go to places they can contend. Look at Javon Hargrave, for example. Goes from Philly, just went to the Super Bowl. He's going to San Francisco, a team that was playing in the postseason this year and has played in the postseason the last couple years. Finding those players and being able to pay top dollar for guys that want to come to a team that's just kind of trying to get this thing off the ground, Sometimes that's a harder sell for sure, and sometimes it costs you way more than you're willing to pay. And what we know about Ryan Poles is he's been diligent in not overpaying for positions that not overpaying, period, for players that...
Because he's not, you know, at that point.
No, not yet. These are not desperate. They're not desperate yet. Because the overall perception of this team is that they're still building. It doesn't take a year quick fix, brand new staff, front office. You
Bam,
name
we're
it.
Back.
Yeah, that's
Correct.
Just that's unrealistic, and that's a short-sighted way of viewing this rebuild. It wasn't a retooling. It was a full-on rebuild.
Completely agree.
And usually, I mean, you construct a house. It doesn't take 1 year to build the house. Sometimes it takes longer if you're building a big one.
All right, we have got the Friday Folder brought to you by ETI School of Skilled Trades. And don't forget Tracy Butler Weekend Weather 950. Be right back.
Here's today's headlines with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Blackhawks blown out by the Capitals last night, 6-1. They've lost three in a row and are 24-41-6 on the season. Have not been to the playoffs in 7 years. Bulls begin their West Coast road trip tonight against the Trailblazers, 9 p.m. tip-off. Sweet 16 began last night. K-State outlasted Michigan State 98-93 in overtime. UConn crushed Arkansas 88-65. Florida Atlantic came from behind in the second half, beat Tennessee 62-55. And Gonzaga, an absolute thriller, 79-76 winners over UCLA on a late three. And the NFL has sent a memo telling teams you are prohibited from talking to Lamar Jackson's representative. He is not an accredited agent. Jamie.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Friday Folder brought to you by ETI School of Skilled Trades. Here is Jake Cantu.
All right, I want to start off with one more food item. This is coming out of the Yankees, New York. It's an Aaron Judge-inspired burger to their menu for the season. But here's the catch. It costs $19.99, and only 99 of them will be made at each home game.
Damn!
Is this the smartest or dumbest food item to be introduced at a ballpark?
Well, what makes it worth a $20 burger? And I know it's New York.
It's a Wagyu patty, cheese, pickles, onions, and secret sauce.
Oh.
Jay Moore wants one.
I mean, I can understand from the Wagyu standpoint it being $20. What makes it Aaron Judge? It's inspired.
A little flag that with 99 on the... The little toothpick they put. That's what makes it.
They can't, like, sear that on the bun?
And it comes on with an apron.
Right. Yeah. They should, like, burn 99 onto the bun.
That's what I would do. I mean, then you can actually brand it appropriately.
Can you burn a signature? Is that... Can you do that?
I don't know. Like, I think so.
I think you could. I mean...
Yeah, you can do anything.
People get branded. Like, there are fraternities
that
brand you.
On the bun. I feel like I've seen this before. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like I've seen that on bread.
And yeah.
Yeah. That's
100%.
Okay.
Or a big thing, too, that, like, kind of got big a couple years ago was, like, the gold steak and, like, the gold meat patty.
Yeah, that's a waste of money.
It is such... It's, like, I don't know what it's, like, made out of, but it's literally gold flakes just put on top of it.
24-karat gold, like, encrusted, yes. This, that, and the other thing. I think that's a waste of money. I would rather wear the gold than eat it. I also don't know, like, how that, like, factors going through your digestive tract, but I'll digress on that.
All right, Jake.
All right, United Airlines plans air taxi service between O'Hare and near Westside, launching in 2025. I don't know if you guys have seen what these, like, electric air taxis look like. It's like literally drones, and it's just like a pod inside with, like, propellers on top. And it's supposed to get you quicker to the Westside. From O'Hare to 10 minutes is what they're promising. 10 minutes flat from O'Hare to the city.
How much is it?
That I do not know yet.
And when will this be available?
2025. Details about how much the service will cost have not been released yet.
Wow.
You take this.
I mean, Cap should take this because then you won't be waiting in traffic. I mean, they got to get a route up to Northbrook, right? Like, yeah. to be able to get you down here with right. the Kennedy under construction.
I don't live in Northbrook, but that area.
Okay. Yeah. So if they would be willing to make trips up north, maybe I would take this to Hallis Hall one day.
Yeah, how about that?
That would take me 10 minutes versus the hour now commute. It's probably hour plus in the morning. Usually I could skate up there. It's coming back. That's a problem.
Maybe we can get Keith to buy us an ESPN 1000 or ESPN Chicago chopper.
Yeah.
And just shuttle you from downtown.
Hey, put it out there into the ether and let's see what happens.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be incredible.
And we're the home of the Bears. You could land it right on the practice field.
We could have the logo on the side of it. Like, we could brand this thing.
Home of Bears Radio, brought to you by Old National Bank.
See me flying over the highway every day?
That's what Jerry Jones does to go to AT&T Stadium, right? People will be tailgating, and you'll see his helicopter flying in, and all the bushes just get pushed. The leaves get pushed everywhere on. And it's like, oh, there's Jerry again. And with us, oh, there's Cap. Cap coming back in.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yes. Let's make it happen.
That would be awesome.
Wait, but you said this thing goes to the west side? So, like, you pick it up at O'Hare. Where does it drop you off? Does it say?
Yeah, it said from near west side. That's all it entailed.
Near west side, like United yeah. Center.
Okay.
So, like, Illinois Medical District.
All right.
That'd be amazing if they could just drop you off, like, right downtown.
I mean, the roads are so crowded right now and not great quality, so we got to go level above and travel through the air.
That'd be awesome. Courtney Cronin will be landing shortly. Get off the practice field, please. Yes, that'd be amazing.
Like a boss.
Yeah, like a boss. Exactly, Jay Moore. Jake.
Story I saw yesterday. Two escape jail and go to IHOP where patrons report them. And it just thought to me, there were two inmates in Virginia jail, and they used tools to create a hole in the wall of their cell to escape, something like out of Alcatraz. And to be found 4 hours later at an IHOP, a restaurant nearby. But why would you go to IHOP?
Is it the only thing around the jail?
Escape jail, yeah. I thought to myself, what's the first, if you escape jail, what's the first place you go to?
Well, what's in the vicinity? Like, you have your dream place that you're going after eating prison food.
Well, I'm not going to eat.
You're getting out of Dodge.
I'm getting out of Dodge. Okay. I'm finding a train I can hop on, and I'm taking that bad boy out of here. Gone.
I'm going to McDonald's drive-thru. Give me some nuggets.
Guy, Merrick, he's unbelievable.
There's no Waffle House nearby? This jail you said is West Virginia, Jake?
Virginia.
So I just got to get out of Dodge so I don't get caught.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm planning on a life of crime continuing, well, then I guess you don't care. But I don't want to go back to jail if I was ever in. I've never been in, thank God, and I don't ever plan on it. By the way, sidebar, may I approach?
Yes.
Brought to you by Inc. and Law, 3126 million for the great Howard Inc. It's signed by Ball. Jay Moore, guess what I did last night?
What did you do?
I made chicken fingers in the air. I just bought a new air fryer.
Do you like it?
Oh, my God.
I don't have one. Is it worth?
It's amazing.
Worth buying?
The best.
Yes. I put everything in it.
Best. You got to get it. I'll hook you up with my guy, Steve Shapiro at Apt.
Okay.
They drop shipped it to the house. I had it in 24 hours. And so I got these paper liners for the metal basket. Put the paper liner in. I cut the chicken in strips. Boneless chicken.
Mm-hmm.
I bought gluten-free breadcrumbs. Panko breadcrumbs. Took two eggs, a little half and half, put it in the bowl, beat it all up, little sea salt, dip the chicken strips in, then roll them in the breadcrumbs and into the air fryer. Dude!
It's good. It's really good.
Oh, my God. I got some sugar-free barbecue sauce. It's really good because barbecue sauce has a ton
of
sugar.
Are you keto right now?
Pretty close.
Okay.
Pretty close. And it was awesome. Watching basketball and eating chicken fingers. Oh.
And it's better and quicker than doing it in the oven.
Oh, way quicker.
Okay. I know I sound like an idiot. Like
way
not
quicker.
Having, not on the air
fryer.
So
you do about
yet.
6 minutes, open the door up, just flip them over, and another six, done. And they are as tender. The air fryer is the real deal. I made salmon in it two nights
heard
in a
that's
row.
That's a popular one.
My vegetables like asparagus and Brussels sprouts and broccoli. You know I did not eat cooked vegetables till 4 years ago.
Okay.
That's like 50 years I didn't eat them.
Do you have to like coat them in stuff to put them in? You're effectively dehydrating them, right?
I usually put olive oil and a little sea salt and pepper.
So you can still keep it healthy.
Olive oil, some seasoning, and then you just slap it in there.
It's the greatest.
How do the three men in here know more about like a kitchen appliance than I do?
Literally all I use now. Yeah, that and then I'll do some like vegetables right on the grill and that's it.
Okay. I think I'm doing chicken fingers again tonight.
After you get home from the 20th anniversary? 25th anniversary.
Gonna cut the chicken right in the air fryer. Bam!
Can't give any of it to Yoshi though.
No.
He's got a sensitive stomach right now.
He does. And I gave him some of that last night, too.
Do you think that that might have been the culprit?
Either that or the turkey breast, chicken sliced, like, deli meat that I gave him. I don't know. It was not a fun night to clean up starting at 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, my God. Anyway, Tracy Butler is amazing. She is coming in here. Gold star performance this winter, but I think she's lacking this weekend. We'll get into that next.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
All right, the Cap and Jay Hood Cut of the Day brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. David Flom and Matt Moore's dining experience is the best in the city. Have at it, Jay Moore.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Now, for someone like you, Shay, who, again, you don't have the full cigarette. Will you have that in the car with Cap? That's the other question.
No.
I mean, you're driving with Cap to Indianapolis.
You want to see someone pushed out going down 65? Light up a cigarette in my truck.
I don't smoke. What is this about?
I don't know. He just brought up you smoking in the car. Not going to happen.
So you're not going to have your vape ready?
No, I gave it up. I haven't hit it in 4 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How about that?
How's the wife feel about that?
Great. She didn't care either way. I just... All right.
He's a nice guy. Thank God I don't have to do that.
Yeah, that took a second. It's not nice. What's happening to me in this studio this morning?
I'm asking you about that because, I mean...
I've had my hometown slandered. I've now had my sex life slandered.
I'm glad everything's fine at home, though. You haven't hit it in a couple of... You say 4 months.
The vape. I haven't hit the vape in 4 months.
Oh. We care about one another. That's right. Why I asked the question.
He seemed like he'd been a little backed up.
I don't like how hard Jay Moore's laughing at this.
How can you tell, Cap? He's been a little backed up. How can you tell? Trump. He's on the what?
A retention plan. Whatever.
There we go.
What am I, Tom Brady?
That's it. That is brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. I got to mention the crab and avocado appetizer served chill with crab meat, avocado, cucumbers, capers, peppers, asparagus. When their server preps this table side, it'll be your favorite thing you eat for lunch. Chicago Cut Steakhouse. That leads us to...
Oh, thanks!
What?
I have to follow that?
Well, you're way better than that.
That's the reason Shay's not here today. He's so embarrassed by that cut that we just played.
Correct.
He knew we were coming for him.
I gave Tracy like five gold stars for the winter performance. It's the fourth warmest winter on record. See, I do my homework.
I haven't hit it in 4 months.
I do my homework, Tracy. I watched Gilly. No, I was watching you.
I was looking at my app. That's what you usually say.
The ABC 7 weather.
It's about time.
Thank you.
It's about time.
But to be honest with you, you are like someone who got an A grade on the first test in the quarter.
Uh-huh.
You got the midterm right. You got the third quarter, got an A. And the final exam, you dropped the ball. You didn't study. 6 inches of effing snow this weekend.
Wait a minute. Do you have to be somewhere tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
Where?
I don't know. I've got stuff to do.
Oh, do you now?
Yeah.
So busy.
I do. I mean, come on, Tracy.
I mean,
it's freaking gonna be the 25th of May. Today's a week past St. Patrick's Day, and we got to deal with that.
This is the first weekend of spring. Let's add that to the mix. But for any of your listeners who are participating in the Shamrock Shuffle on Sunday, mm-hmm. It's going to be good.
Snow will be gone.
But it's going to melt.
Okay.
Is the sun like moving closer with the dry at all?
We're going to see the sun. We're going to see sun on Sunday. Tomorrow, I'm not going to lie to you, it's probably good. Oh, thank you for the applause. Tomorrow is going to be a slush fest.
Oof.
Yeah.
I have to fly tomorrow night. Will it be done by then?
Oh, what time?
9 p.m. I've got to go to Arizona for owners meetings.
And okay.
I was expecting warmth. It's not going to be that great out there.
Okay.
Yeah,
they've had a little bit of a chill out there. You know what? Your flight, hopefully, the thing that's going to be questionable is, will they get flights that are backed up through the day?
Not great.
Will that have influence? Because by 9 o'clock tomorrow night, mm-hmm. our weather conditions should be better. We should be starting to see clearing skies by then.
So your snow will be gone, Cap. So you can go do whatever you were doing tomorrow morning at 9 p.m.
I'm more worried about her flight than you sitting around in your whatever you're sitting around in on a Saturday morning.
My wife's out of town. My wife's out of town. I can sit around whatever I want to sit around in.
Oh, gosh. Cancel. I can't think
of
that.
Me and Yoshi. Well, let me see what the ABC7 weather app
is saying. All you had to do was watch me this morning.
I'm working.
I'm here to tell you what I... What time did you go on the air?
7.
Okay. So I start at 4:30 in the morning. And at 3:30 in the morning...
You were up. Technically, you were up.
I was up.
Yeah. Stuck in traffic.
But I was watching... Baumgarten and Potash. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we're building a wall right here.
And he was watching some P-Valley.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you watch P-Valley?
No. I don't even know what that is.
Why don't you tell her, Jay Moore?
I don't think I want to know.
No shot.
No, but you know what I do watch? I watch Around the Horn every single day. And I'm so excited for who's going to be on it today.
Thank you.
She's awesome.
You.
I know.
Okay, so this ABC7, Ask the Weather Team. Do you handle all those questions?
Do those go directly to your email?
We get the... Yes, I do get the questions. And then we try to answer as many as we can.
Submit your weather question here, and the ABC7 Weather Team may answer it.
May. You have a direct line to her right here.
I know, exactly.
Ask your questions to the source.
Why are you wasting our time?
Tracy, next Thursday's opening flipping day. 50 in rain.
There's time to change it.
Get on.
For 30 in snow.
We still love it. Oh, my God.
Just for you.
Like a normal opening day in Chicago.
Exactly.
What else do we expect?
Right.
All right, it's the ESPN 25th anniversary. Tracy's going to be there. Courtney's going to be there. I'm going to be there. A whole station's going to be there. The fun starts at noon. Don't forget, Tyler and Shay are on tonight from 6 to 8 after the party. Courtney, thank you for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Tracy, you're awesome.
Thanks.
All right, have a great day, everybody, and an awesome weekend. We'll see you Monday. Take that from Chicago.